And welcome in to the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a lot to get to on the program here today. Predators head coach John Hines dropping by at 7:30. And, of course, our good pal Jared Stillman to recap an impressive victory from Joe Rex Road and Jared versus Joe yesterday. He'll be by on the show at 7 o'clock. Joe, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good. You know, listening to that Foo Fighters, our intro song.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody noticed, but Bonnaroo, Last Day, Foo Fighters, and Pixies are both going to be there. So I'm pretty excited about that. I've never been to. Have you ever done Bonnaroo?
No. Bonnaroo?
Anyone?
Showering.
Bonnaroo?
Yeah. But I could probably.
You said you enjoy a shower?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I was thinking I might have to take like four before going over there, right?
You're doing Bonnaroo?
We could do a live show from a tent. Over there.
Oh, that'd be amazing. So the thing is, it's depends on the College World Series.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, one of those sports writer things where you root against the teams you might cover right. So that you can do fun things in your life. So
shout out to Vitello and Corbin.
Yeah, go Notre Dame.
You're like, I hope you guys don't make it. Sorry, not sorry.
Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing good this morning.
Good.
Coffee's kicking in and I have extra today, so that's always great.
Good. I'm looking up at the screen. A lot of defense last night between the Grizzlies and the Spurs. Final score of 135-129 in regulation. Nice defensive performance last night in Memphis.
Ja with a cool 38. My goodness. Did you see the
13?
Thing? Yeah. By the way, did you see this? They're showing it with the with
like
the
someone girl, like stole her basketball or something, didn't they?
Stole
like
her shoes.
Adult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Stole her shoes. But Ja got her new shoes. Pretty sweet.
Yeah. Pretty nice stuff. So. Another big win for the Grizz last night. They're number one in the league in points per game. So the most exciting offense in the league, the Memphis Grizzlies. So they continue to keep things rolling. Joe, the Predators involved in what I would describe as pretty good hockey game last night between them and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Had the national TV audience on TNT, and the Predators do lose 2-1 in regulation. So obviously not the result that the Predators are looking for, but I thought a pretty well-played game on both sides, a game where they didn't call a whole lot out there, and then they did call something at the end of it with a double minor, and the Leafs got put on the power play, and ultimately Mitch Marner with the game winner. All in all, I thought the Predators played an okay game last night, just ended up on the short side of things, but still 3-1-0 on the road trip, a chance tonight against Montreal to close it out 4-1, and you go 4-1 on this road trip, pretty darn good.
Yeah. No, if you get 8 points, you're happy. It was unfortunate they couldn't at least get a point out last night when you take it that deep in a 1-1 game. And they actually, I thought the kill on the 4 minute was really good for, 3 minutes. I think their penalty kill's doing really well right now. But then kind of get Saros out of position a little bit and get the puck to the other side and
He almost got back.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yep. It was a tough way to not score a point. I mean, Forsberg had just a ridiculous goal.
It was absurd. I don't think, and they were talking about this a little bit on the broadcast, I'm not sure the average sports fan can appreciate how difficult what he did last night was. And like the smoothness with which that goal took place in one motion. It's pretty darn good.
It's basically, it's like the Matrix.
Yeah, it's pretty
good.
Have
you seen the Matrix where all of a sudden they just stop in the air and start going in slow motion, flipping around? It's like that.
Well, let me put it to you this way. He's certainly the one forward they have on the team that could score one like that. Yossi may be able to do something like that, but, I mean, just the hands to do it in a space that's that tight, it's ridiculous what he did last night. And, by the way, the pass by Parson, pretty darn good too.
Yes, it was. Very good pass, yeah. And, of course, just great timing for the listener to call in and not pick Forsberg so you can pick Forsberg. I'm sure it's not a conspiracy
or anything.
I'd
like to thank people for their service, and now the listeners and myself tied at first place with 10 correct answers apiece.
But I'm sure today they'll take Forsberg.
We'll see.
I'm falling very behind in pick-to-click.
Well, yeah, so – yeah, I'm sorry about that. Can you screen listeners and take someone who's not going to take
first caller,
take
Joe.
Forsberg?
It's the first caller.
All right. Anyway.
I'll take Alex Carrier.
Thank you. Yeah, there you go.
Believe me, I have before been like, are you sure you want Forsberg? And they're like, yep, I do.
Sure am.
Speaking of Preds pick to click, you know, some yarn croak action.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I thought the Preds, I mean, they had some good chances, I thought, earlier in the game, and, you know, they still need more. Still need to manufacture more opportunities.
They do. And they've overall been doing a better job of that lately. I thought Matt Murray was really good
last night.
And quite frankly, he's not been very good in a long time. But I thought he was really good last night. I mean, the one play where McDonough made the pass over to Tanner Jeannot.
Oh, man.
And Murray made the save on that play. I was like, man. What does Tanner Jeannot have to do to get a puck to go in the back of the net for him? I thought he had one the other day, and then Lozon gets credit for it.
That gets taken off the board.
And then, I mean, it was a great play by McDonough to kind of like slow it down there, get the puck over to him, and the net was at a point in time wide open, and he couldn't get enough on it.
Yeah.
The dude is the definition of snake bit right now.
We're moving in close to 80 days without a goal.
Yeah.
That's tough, man.
Yeah. I mean, he hadn't scored since October 27th. So, I would imagine his frustration level is pretty high right now.
I mean, at that point, people still thought Kentucky football might not suck this season. You know,
like,
I don't know why I'm choosing violence. I'm sorry.
You are choosing violence, and you better get ready for 7:45 today.
Uh-oh.
Fuel my fire, okay?
Oh, your rant's against me?
Oh,
no, not
so.
Against you.
Oh, okay. All right.
We do have a little red rant.
We do have a red rant today.
Maybe I should do one against you, Joe.
Hey. Fair game.
I just want to point out that wasn't me. Joe did it. That's usually around.
Listen,
I would
Robbie's earning brownie points if I
yeah,
just.
I was just trying to think of like pre-Halloween. What did we
what
think?
Was going on?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could have said like the Titans. We were saying every day. Yeah, well,
yep.
The division's over.
There you go.
But I went.
That
was
better.
I went
one.
With Kentucky. I'm sorry.
You chose violence.
So the Preds will be back in action tonight, taking on Montreal. And like I said, Joe. First off, it's Montreal. You need to win the game. I mean, they just played Montreal last week and hung up 6 on them. I'm not saying you got to hang up 6 tonight, but going on the road against a team that's not very good, you need to go win this game. And if you can do that, you can salvage a road trip, and salvage is the wrong term. It's a good road trip. If you win this game tonight and you go 4-1-0, I mean, I you would take that every single time.
Yes.
On a 5-game road trip. Every time.
No doubt. No doubt. Absolutely. You know, and if you get this – you're talking 8 out of 10 points, 4 wins, and a very, you know, I understand no Matthews, but still a very solid performance overall.
Yeah.
In a tough place to play against a very talented team.
And the story continues to be that your goaltender is just – I know he gave up 2 last night. If that's the bad game – well, I just got really loud. If that's the bad game, then 2 is – pretty darn good. I mean, he's locked in. He made even last night. He made some saves where you're just like, "Geez, man, he is making hard saves look really easy right now."
Yeah, he didn't hurt himself. We talked yesterday about just, you know, you're talking TNT and you're talking the Leafs and everything. You know, it's whenever if you have any players who are up for any awards, those are good games to play well in.
Oh yeah,
yeah, he didn't hurt himself.
Well, and to that point, it's a back to back tonight, and the Predators recalled Yaroslav Askarov yesterday. Now,
first time.
It seems like it's like, you know, Kevin Lankinen kind of touch and go right now. We'll see if he's ready tonight to play. Doesn't sound like it's anything that's overly serious with Lankinen, but I am interested. Like, if there's any hesitation with Lankinen tonight, could we see Askarov make his NHL debut?
That'd be wild. I would assume since they were fine going with him as the backup last night.
I would assume he'd be okay.
Askarov, they'd probably just be him. But, yeah, that'd make it and what a place to have your first NHL start,
yeah,
huh?
Absolutely.
In that place.
I mean,
against a bad team. It's a perfect scenario.
I would say, I mean, I don't think it's likely that happens, but now that he's at least been called up, could.
Who knows?
Yeah. Could happen tonight. So we'll see what happens on that front. I mean, hopefully – and honestly, I know it would be exciting to see Askarov for the average Predators fan and be like, okay, well, what's this kid look like and what's the future? Like, with the way Lankinen's been playing, I would like for Lankinen to be available tonight and just go win the game.
Sure.
That's what I'd be worried about.
Yeah, but I mean, also, I'd still be interested in
watching. Oh, I mean, look, if it's Askarov tonight, I'm going to be paying very close attention. There's no question about that. But we'll see what happens on the goaltending front for the Nashville Predators. John Hines, Predators head coach, will join us coming up later in the show at 7:30. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans, including some comments made earlier this week from Malik Willis about his season and what his future could look like in a Tennessee Titans uniform. We'll get into that coming up next as well. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, FanDuel Sportsbook, which is, of course, my sportsbook, and it's also the nation's best sportsbook. Could I call it the world's best sportsbook? I think I could call it the world's best sportsbook.
I think you can.
Yes. Well, here's the thing with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, it's Wild Card Weekend, as you know, and the easiest way to get into the playoffs is with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And I'm going to call it the world's number one sportsbook. New customers, you can get in today with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Sign up with promo code Joe102. Of course, FanDuel, you can do your traditional bets, money line, point spreads, player props, but you can combine them for a same game parlay. Right now, let me look at one. I've been talking Jags Chargers. Since it doesn't look great for Lamar Jackson, you know what? Bengals Ravens, okay? Bengals big. Under in this game, too. I just don't see the Ravens doing much. And how about Ja'Marr Chase over on the receiving yards? Do whatever you want. Just do it on an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. Again, don't miss out. Place that $5 bet. Get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code Joe102. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online, 1 minute wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live from the 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alex from Montreal on the text line, going back to the Prez discussion, says, "Don't worry, you're going to manufacture many chances tonight versus my team. We're on full rebuild." This from Alex from Montreal on the text line. Dustin from Hopkinsville saying, "Yo, did the Vols get to the college football playoff? Nah." So not standing for Joe's Kentucky slander.
Ooh.
And Jeff on the text line says, "Speaking of Kentucky, Michelle has been abnormally silent about Kentucky sports for the last couple of months."
Tune in at 7:45 for Jeff, everybody who just texted in.
Wow.
Ooh. So it's Kentucky related.
Preview.
All right. I hope it's a guarantee of a natty. That's what I'm hoping the Red Rant is.
I hope it's calling for the firing of John Calipari.
Oh,
it'd be awesome.
Be that too. My goodness.
See what happens coming up at 7:45 today here on the program. So, obviously, this is the week after the Titans have been eliminated from playoff contention. We will get into the wild card matchups a little bit later in the show today. But we've had a lot to discuss. We'll continue to have a lot to discuss on the Tennessee Titans. And one player, Joe, whose future that I'm really intrigued by is Malik Willis. And we've discussed this. Number one, I think everybody reasonably in this conversation would agree that he probably shouldn't have been on the field this year at any point, and circumstances played out the way they did to where he had to be on the field at this year. So what does it all mean? Clearly he wasn't ready to play. Clearly it was too much for him to be a starting quarterback this year for the Titans. What does it all mean with now the general manager who drafted him being out the door, no longer with the organization, the Titans going in a different direction with their general manager? And you had Josh Dobbs come in and start the last two games for the Titans in the regular season. You know, he didn't look great out there, but I think certainly looked more prepared and better than Malik Willis did. And Malik Willis had some interesting comments earlier this week about the noise that he's heard about his play, what he's learned this year with the Tennessee Titans, and what it could all mean for his future. Here's what Titans quarterback Malik Willis had to say earlier this week.
How do you think you progressed from the time you got in this building until the end of the year? I think I progressed a whole bunch. You may not think so, but I learned a lot, man. I learned a lot. And just having that film and those reps. And I've never been under center before I got the, you know, the NFL. So I got over 1,000 reps of being under center, and that's very helpful. That's what it's about, repetition and building that muscle memory and understanding where you want to be in the pocket versus this play action protection versus where we want to be in the pocket versus this drop back. Like, understanding just everything that comes into it, and then being able to go out and make quick decisions and get the ball out.
Was any part of that transition
that is going forward for you?
I mean, I think it was great. Just got to continue to work and get better and keep my head up.
I mean, Pat talked, an analogy he used with us is about taking the steps, not necessarily the elevator with you. I mean, did he tell that to you, and what do you think that maybe means as far as your steps in this league?
I mean, we always want to go right to where we want to be, and understanding that he had me coming in thinking, you know, a guy who's been playing RPOs, quick game, a whole bunch of, you know, drop back shots. It's not necessarily what we do here. It's not necessarily this offense. And it's just understanding how we go from one thing and get to another. And he says the elevator because you don't go straight from, you know, running RPOs and mostly shotgun to being under the center with Derrick Henry behind you and you having to feed him. So it's like you got to understand how that process goes. And taking the steps means, yeah, you're learning. Like, you're learning. Oh, setback. You're learning, setback. It's the steps. It's taking the long way.
Was it a bigger transition maybe than you thought it might have been?
I mean, I think it was what I expected. I think I didn't expect some of the details that I came in thinking about. I didn't think those would be the details that would help me separate myself. So just really experience has taught me that. So learning from it.
Can you give an example of that?
Like, yeah.
Footwork, like I was talking about within the pocket, just where you want to be, where your landing spot is, and where you most protected within the pocket. Just understanding my landmarks and play action footwork and run game footwork and all that different type of stuff.
How did all this understanding help you to handle the decision of the last two games for Josh to start?
I don't think they had anything to do with each other, but just keep getting better, dude. I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm not really tripping.
So that was Malik Willis earlier this week. A lot to talk about there. Number one, when I heard this audio for the first time, Joe, one of the things I thought about was his first answer to Chris Harris from WSMV of, you know, talking about how he's improved and gotten better. And he said, "You might not think so," was immediately what he said in that conversation. And then, you know, obviously as the conversation went on, examples of what he's learned this year, he talked about the value of getting over 1,000 reps under center, being under center for the first time, learning about footwork at the NFL level, reading defenses, all these different things. What was your reaction from what Malik Willis had to say earlier this week?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting conversation with him on the last day and on move-out day. And, yeah, that struck me too. It's like that and, like, the press conference he had after the last time he played, which is the Texans game. It kind of spoke to someone who hears people saying how much he's struggling. You know, again, I think everybody knows what people are saying about him. It's just some people hide it and some don't. It's, you know, there's no way that's easy, but you know, but he understands, I think, what people are saying, and then he sees Dobbs start those two games, and so here's another thing to throw into this. And I think I said it last week, but we had the Pat O'Hara conversation, and he was asked, you know, how did Malik handle this? And he's like, well, he started coming in earlier, and he started staying later, which I was like, so it was like, that's a good response, which I agree, but I was like, but when you're starting, you know, I mean, wouldn't you do that anyway? I mean, I guess you could look at that either way.
But, yeah.
But it's interesting with Malik Willis because, you know, I think there'd be a lot more talk. I think a lot of people have just dismissed him. I think a lot, like you said, it's intriguing. I don't think it's intriguing. I think for a lot of people, it's not intriguing. It's like, nah, just dismiss him. He's not good enough. I mean, we're going to have Jared on later. I'm sure if we ask Jared about this, 0% he'll ever do anything. Right. I mean, I'm more down than up for sure. I think everybody is. But also, what if he hadn't taken a snap this year?
Yeah. I mean, there's no question that, to me, the conversation around him would be different if he had not taken a snap. Let's say all we had to go on was the preseason and the preseason games that we saw him play.
Yeah, he made some throws.
I mean, we'd say, okay, there were times where it was rough, but he did make some plays. Mainly, I mean, I think it was the Bucs game in the preseason where he broke off like the 40-yard run or whatever it was. Like, okay, he can make some plays with his feet.
Deep shot to McMath.
Had the deep shot to McMath. I mean, the arm you can see. Okay, so what does it look like now with a full year of sitting there and learning and practicing and watching film, all these different things at the NFL level? I'm really interested to see what Malik Willis looks like at training camp next year.
Yeah, I guess the question is, does what we saw this year mean there's no chance of Malik Willis becoming a good NFL quarterback?
I don't think it means that necessarily. I do think what it means is in a year where he shouldn't have played and had to is going back to decisions you make before the season. Had to is because of the Titans,
yeah,
because they decided to make him the backup quarterback. So that's where if you want to point the finger, you can start there for making him the backup quarterback. But he did, and he did have to play. And I think because of that, we saw just how far away he is from being ready. And I think we knew that he was far away from being ready to be an NFL starter. But when you think that he's not going to have to play heading into the season, and then all of a sudden he does, and what did he play in, four games, three games?
Let's see, the both Texans games, yep. Kansas
Chiefs
City game.
Game,
and
he had to come in for a little bit in the Chargers game.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, well, and then we can get into the lining him up wide handoffs.
Some of his awesome little plays.
Yes, trick plays in there too. But at the quarterback position, I think he appeared in four games. And then we saw what it was like. So, look, I mean, I've been pretty consistent on this. Do I think that Malik Willis has absolutely zero chance to one day turn into a quality NFL starter? No, but I don't love his chances. I mean, based on what I've seen, he's a long, long way away from being that.
So what if the Titans, what if the Titans would have had Dobbs level backup quarterbacking in place, they'd probably be in the playoffs right now.
Probably.
So that's the thing, like picking Malik Willis. I guess every pick that's come before, you have to just say, well, it's John Robinson. I mean, it's his choice. Again,
although we say that, and he won the first Texans game, right? So they won the game, and Dobbs was the quarterback against the Cowboys in the last Jags game, and they lost.
And they lost.
That's
true. Now I think, like, I guess basically it's like, yeah, I guess would they have won the Texans game? But then again,
would you have had a better – yeah, the Texans game for sure. If Dobbs was the quarterback against Kansas City, would you have had a better chance to win that game based on the way the defense played in that game?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll never know.
Right. I mean, I think it was a mistake in retrospect to make him the two. It's a roster spot. It actually goes to next year too, though. First of all, he's got to get himself to the point where he can be a QB2, right? I mean, that's really that's the goal right now. Can you be a trustable QB2? And then after that, I don't know. But I don't know if he can. And if he can't, because you spent a third-round pick on him, I mean, do you have to carry three quarterbacks next year?
I don't think so. Like, to me, if he's not ready to be the QB2 next year, you need to move on from him. That's how I view it. I mean, I understand he was a third-round pick, but if by year two you're not ready to be a backup, that's a pretty big problem to me. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What did you make of those comments from Malik Willis, and what do you think Malik Willis's future with the Titans will look like? 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning, discussing Malik Willis and what his future could look like with the Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie. Hey, Joe.
Hey there.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, man, y'all. Y'all going to have to quit telling your viewers to call me Ed Orgeron. That is not my name. I'm sure not Ed.
First off, we didn't say it. Somebody else commented.
No, I know.
I just want to point it out.
Yeah, I know. I'm just joking. But I just got a couple of things to say. That conversation Malik Willis had really didn't sound that good, man. It sounds like he just doesn't have the confidence. I'm like you, Rob. If he can't show any progress coming up in the training camp this year, man, you may have to cut him. I just don't see it happening, man. It's like I told you the other week. It's that Hugh Freeze thing. It's that offense that they run. Those guys struggle to get in the pros. And also, I'm going to say this before I go, Joe. Big-time win for you yesterday, man. I'm very proud of you. I believe you figured Steelman out, and I'm glad you have. I see that you figured his weakness out, saying stuff that he knows he says he doesn't say, but knowing he did say it.
Do you win money on it, Mark?
There you go, Mark. We appreciate it.
I want a little bit of money off of it and stuff.
Good.
You taking care of me, Joe. But like I said, man, I'm your biggest fan out here right now, Joe. Keep winning, man.
All right, man.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you, buddy.
All right, we'll see y'all, man.
What a great call from Mark in Nashville. Good stuff.
Every time he calls, I have to watch Smokey and the Bandit tonight.
Honestly, every time he calls, especially on Thursdays after Jared versus Joe, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I keep forgetting he bets on these, him and his friends.
I really hope that's true. God, I hope it's true.
He wanted a little money.
Way to go, Joe.
But the thing is, like, you know, like there's a sense of fairness that Caroline has, which I think is great. So like she has to give Jared some. So you can't, like, Mark's not always going to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but fairness is not just giving Jared some.
Maybe.
Do you honestly think Jared could ever legitimately win a sports argument in his life? Come on.
I will say though, he will stick with his argument.
Oh yeah, I mean he makes his dumb argument sound good.
He does.
By just yammering on and on about him. It's amazing.
We'll have more yammering coming up at 7:00. Looking forward to that on the program here today.
I wasn't trying to just rip on Jared today. Look what you guys made me do.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, thanks for calling in.
Hopefully I won't yammer too much.
Oh, you can yammer all you want, Kenny.
I wanted to ask you a practice squad question. I know the average practice squad player is not protected. Teams can come and pluck them anytime they want, but I thought they had voted in like two spots was called a protected practice spot where they couldn't do that. And if that was the case, I would have a big old-fashioned filing cabinet, Mark Willis Malik, and put him there for a year and say, Malik, we fully expect you to turn the lights on every morning and sweep before and turn the lights out when we leave. I was shocked at that statement. Well, he's now coming in early and studying, but there's a lot of people have to learn that goes into it. And is that able to file someone away as a protected practice squad player?
Hey,
y'all have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Kenny. You too. Joe, there has been additions to the practice squad rule in terms of protection every week. Now, as we saw, Titans also had Logan Woodside on the practice squad this year, and they got snatched up by the Falcons. So. You gotta
watch that Arthur.
You gotta watch
Smith,
those protections,
man, especially. Yeah. And of course, the Titans got themselves a pretty good QB2 off the Lions practice squad. So, Derek says they knew he's gonna be a project. They draft him. So, what's the point of drafting him if you're gonna cut him before year two? Someone please help me understand. And I said, to your point, like you take someone in the third round, and by year two they can't be a QB2.
Yeah.
Then you made a bad pick. So, yeah. I mean, it really is. It's on him to make huge gains and be in a situation where if they turn to him next year, they can run their offense. Someone else said they got to change the scheme. The schemes in the NFL, there's a certain level of you must be able to do A, B, and C. Okay, whatever scheme you're in, you're not gonna run Hugh Freeze's scheme in the NFL. So
right. You
got to be able to do A, B, and C. He wasn't able to do that this year. So. I don't, like, if he's going to be your starter, then yeah, I mean, I think you do some different things to utilize what he does best. But, I mean, ultimately, whatever NFL scheme you're in, he has to get better. He has to come up to a certain level to be able to run that scheme.
There's no question. And, you know, to the point of the third-round pick that you spent on him, I mean, we've seen a very recent example. Like, Minnesota drafted Kellen Mond in the third round in 2021.
Oh, watch out, Cousins!
Yeah, and then last training camp he got cut.
Yeah.
So that's 1 year that he had with the Vikings.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's going to happen with Malik Willis. I'm just saying that if he comes back this offseason, and again, Titans got to figure out who their starting quarterback is going to be. Let's assume it's Ryan Tannehill. The Tannehill's back. Like, if Malik Willis isn't good enough to be the backup to Ryan Tannehill in training camp next year, why would you keep him around after that?
Yeah, and someone else asked if they could sneak him on the practice squad. That'll be interesting if it gets to that. I mean, it's possible. I would think that someone would be like, hey, let's give it a shot. But again, I mean, I don't know. That'll be very interesting. I hate to do this, but I will do this real fast.
Okay.
Just imagine if the Titans, 2 years ago, instead of Brady Breeze, had just taken Trey Smith.
Yeah.
And then this year, instead of Malik Willis, to take a Dylan Parham, their offensive line would
it'd be fine.
And that's two, by the way, local kids. Parham from Memphis, who was really good this year for the Raiders, and Trey Smith, who basically, I mean, every week I see a new, like, oh my God, look what Trey Smith just did to that guy highlight. Doesn't mean he's perfect. He actually wasn't very good here last year when they played him, but just saying. You can always play that game. You can always go back to the draft and look at, you know, this pick and that pick, but man.
I think the Predators should have taken Nikita Kucherov over Mika Salamaki that one time.
God, that's incredible.
It's just me.
That's a fair point. And you were screaming that at the time.
Yeah, just going nuts about it. Yep, question. Zach from Nashville on the text line says, the Willis talk hinges on the offensive coordinator, and if they switch to a different scheme as well. Either way, it's on Malik to take the offseason and put in the work in fixing his very glaring deficiencies, but I don't have faith he'll even make the final 53. A new GM is going to have an easy time moving on from a third-round pick who has shown nothing. This is from Zach in Nashville on the text line.
So you're saying the GM's in charge?
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be up to Vrabel. And again, this is where all these previous picks, I don't know. I don't know how many of them Vrabel contested, agreed with, pushed for. Who knows?
By the way, we just saw a Titans former fourth-round pick yesterday sign a futures contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers in Des Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
So
Des Fitzpatrick, who had every opportunity this year and an absolutely
nothing
lifeless receiving core to do anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nothing.
There's another pick that John Robinson moved up to get him. And Amon-Ra St. Brown was there.
Yeah. So
they play that game over and over again.
I'm really interested to see. I think you nailed it. Like, the GM coming in is part of this. Whoever that ends up being, whether it's outside the organization, whether it's Ryan Cowden, whoever it ends up being, obviously they're going to have input. But doesn't this question ultimately come down to, like, what does Vrabel think of Malik Willis? Vrabel's been on the field with him. Vrabel's seen him practice. Vrabel's seen the progress that he's made this year. He would have a better gauge for that than anybody, I would assume. What does Vrabel think about Malik Willis and ultimately what he could be? Like, that's what this decision is going to come down to.
No doubt. And, you know, after the Texans game, you know, the much-discussed Vrabel quote about coming in, blah, 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 was that about Malik Willis? Since we're going to have Jared on. Jared asked me that, and I was like, I don't think he's talking about him, but I don't know.
I have no idea.
I think what Vrabel thinks is going to be when Malik Willis is back in the building, if he sees the obvious fruits of massive, you know, work to work on that foot. Again, the footwork, and like he talked about during that clip, a lot of it is, like, it's hard to do, but can you turn yourself at this age into someone who can consistently place the ball with accuracy because your mechanics are consistently on point? That's a huge thing.
I could see it now as training camp begins next year. Malik Willis, offseason award winner for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, boy.
Just like Dylan Raidens and Caleb Farley from a year ago, ready to go.
That worked out well.
That's actually it. That's a good called shot. That's a good called shot right
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Who would be the award winners? Malik Willis. Who else?
Trying to think of who's going to be on the team next year.
Dylan Radins again.
Yeah,
that's a good question. I guess there's no, but you're right. That's absolutely on point.
Yeah, could be. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in the world of sports. We need your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What is your best thing? What is your worst thing in the world of sports for this week? 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Yeah, now I don't want to speak for you two, but I will. And you guys can just tell me to shut up. I think that we could all agree that the best thing is DeMar Hamlin recovering, right?
Yes.
Like that's like the best thing in, like,
yes,
the country, the world. I keep bringing things to the world today. So that, I mean, to me, that's like, I'm going to dismiss that, not dismiss it, but I'm going to elevate that as
we would
the
all
obvious.
Agree. Okay. Yes.
So my best thing will be a media related best thing.
Oh boy.
First of all, the most important part of this is that Pete Weber had successful surgery Monday, is doing better, is on the mend. I actually texted him Monday, and I expected it just to be like a text that he'd like see when he woke, you know. He immediately texted back. I'm like, God, you're a beast, man. You're already texting people right back. So, Pete Weber, we love you. It's great to see him recovering. And also, Pete Weber, Willie Donick, broadcast year in the state of Tennessee, National
yep.
Sports Media Association, sharing the award. That is awesome. And then Mike Organ from the Tennessean Sports Writer of the Year, also fantastic.
The Grinder.
Well, the Grinder. We heard him in the Malik Willis.
Yeah, we did.
We heard him. He's in there. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
He knows everyone. Basically, half the numbers that I have in my phone that are of people from the state of Tennessee, I got from Mike Organ.
Yeah.
So, very, very proud of all three of you. That's awesome. My worst thing in sports is the Georgia Bulldogs. First of all, like, two things. The game was a complete turd, of course. There's a few things about this. The game was a complete turd. People tried to take the result of that game and make it about, like, the playoffs or whatever. It's like, guys, I sat through so many god-awful Super Bowls in the league that is absolutely obsessed with parody. I mean, sometimes you have bad games, okay? But I got to say this, too. Like, what did Kirby Smart do before the season? Like, he must have, like, written fake newspaper articles and printed them all over the locker room. Like, you got to be, oh, everybody picked us. Okay, here we go. So, Zion Logue, I'm going to try to do this here. This is a terrible idea, but I'm going to try to do it anyway. So, Zion Logue, who's from Lebanon, by the way, I just want you to see if you can hear this audio from Zion Logue.
This is going well.
No!
This is going really well.
Oh my God, hold on. This is so the worst thing in sports is me.
Yeah, this is not gonna work.
All right.
Joe, you could have just sent it to me.
I should have done it on my phone. Anyway, Zion Logue said, you thought we're gonna go 6-6, 5-7. Yeah, 6-6, 5-7, man. No one ever said that. Ever. Ever.
That's
incredible.
I said this the other day. I mean, look, I ranted about it last week after the semifinal game of Kirby Smart saying that people doubted him all year.
And that was the tip of the iceberg.
That was the tip of the iceberg. I didn't know that we were going to, like, you know, there were people after the game. Like, I think it was Nolan Smith said 7-5.
Yeah, he said 7-5.
And I was like, 7-5? Who had you going 7-5? And now we got somebody else talking about 5-7, 6-6.
God.
So I was like, what did Kirby Smart tell you all?
I mean, we
good for him. He got him to buy in, but my goodness.
And then he saved 17 F-bombs for his pregame speech.
Yes,
he did a number on those guys.
Which, if you haven't listened to it, it is a great listen.
It's quite the pregame speech from Kirby Smart the other day. Michelle Gnezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports. My new worst may be Joe trying to get that audio put together. Michelle, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that.
My best thing in sports this week, I don't know if any of you saw it on Twitter or on SportsCenter earlier this week, but Michelle Steele actually did a really cool in-depth piece about Ryan Poles, the GM of the Chicago Bears. So basically, this was, I think, a couple weeks ago. He picked a group of students from a West Side neighborhood who are kind of, it was a lower income neighborhood, not the best area. And he took a huge group of students and essentially they had a field trip to the Bears facility. And he took all of his scouts, all of the people who are in charge of, you know, picking players. And essentially they had an NFL combine draft day. And they went through this in-depth process and they let all the kids, you know, perform in NFL combine drills. They let them sit in film rooms. They showed them how they watch film and pick players. I mean, just talk about a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And just in the story, the teachers, some of the teachers spoke of these kids and said the kids are like, when can we go back? But I mean, if you think about how much a GM is doing, especially right now that their season is over, getting ready for the draft, taking so much time to bring a huge group of students who might never have an opportunity to even go to a Bears game, but to take them behind the scenes, you know, into the facilities, show them everything that they do to get ready for the draft, allow them to perform in some of these drills. I just thought that was pretty awesome. You don't see that ever, honestly. So that's my best thing in sports this week. My worst thing in sports this week is the usher at Rupp Arena or whoever made this happen.
I saw that.
But a fan had a sign that said Calipari, or it didn't even say his name. It just said, go to Texas.
Yeah.
And he got kicked out of the game. Like, just take the sign away. I know how expensive those tickets are to go to a game, let alone, you know, a conference game. I just thought that was so ridiculous and so just, oh gosh, we must protect Calipari. Like, come on, just take the sign away, throw the sign away. I just thought that was ridiculous that he actually got kicked out of the game for that.
Like, times are tough up there.
You didn't pour a drink on somebody. You didn't get in a fight. You're literally kicking him out of a game because he brought a sign that you didn't like.
Did Cal, you think Cal, like, said, get that guy out of here?
You know what? I don't think he did, honestly. I think it was probably an usher thinking that they were like, oh, like, I don't know.
Matt Jones.
Leave our coach
alone. We gotta protect
Cal. Leave our coach alone.
until Matt Jones turns on him.
I have no idea how that came about, but come on.
Good stuff.
It's a little overzealous.
All right, my best thing in sports, it ties into the DeMar Hamlin situation, but Nyheim Hines bringing the opening kick back for Buffalo was pretty awesome. I'm
pretty
not
going
to lie. I mean, it was pretty cool. And, you know, watching Josh Allen's kind of reaction to that on the sideline, you know, Jim Nance and Tony Romo, I thought did a really good job on the call on that play. But, you know, it's one of those things that you find kind of in a movie script of you bring the opening kickoff back after the week that they had. It was pretty sweet. From Nyheim Hines.
Yeah.
So that was my best thing in sports for the week. I have a three-part worst, and they all have to relate to the Green Bay Packers. Number one, Quay Walker being an idiot on Sunday night and pushing the trainer. I will say it looks like in the aftermath, the apology appears to be pretty sincere. I mean, he's pretty broke up about it, so that's fine. But you got to be smarter than that in the moment. You can't be pushing trainers at any time on the field. And that's the second time this year he's gotten kicked out of a game for pushing somebody that's not in the game. One was a practice squad player on the sideline, and the other one was a trainer. So once you start pushing, like, you know, linemen or something like that, or they're playing in the game, that'd be good. And then Matt LaFleur, he's a terrible head coach. And Aaron Rodgers, look, didn't play great on Sunday. I'm getting a little bit tired of it. Yeah, well, he'll just – we'll have to see what the future holds. I don't know if I'm going to play. I don't know if I'm not going to play. Dude, either play or don't, man. I'm tired of the we're going to wait 8 weeks to figure out what you're going to do. Just play or don't play. That's what I need. So three-part Green Bay Packer worst. What do you think?
Look what the mighty Lions have done to you and your Packers.
Broken them up.
You know, I want to put an honorable mention in for Dan Campbell's post-game speech.
I didn't see this.
This is a special team. This is an amazing group. We almost made the playoffs. He didn't say the last part, but it's just – like seriously, it was like a scene after you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, and the game ball goes to our owner. She is the best owner in sports. And, yeah, it's just all this hugging and crying. It's like,
We almost made the playoffs. We ruined one evening for the Packers.
Oh, so fantastic. It's actually perfect Lions crap. It's just perfect.
I didn't see
anyway,
it, but it's amazing.
It's still better than being a Packers right now,
yeah,
I guess.
It is, I guess. David in Arkansas.
The Bears.
Yeah. David in Arkansas says, best in sports, Todd Downing was finally fired. Worst in sports, Steelers had a CPR celebration a week after the Hamlin situation. Like, come on, be better. Did you see that?
Ooh,
yeah,
no.
That's bad.
Oh, boy. I didn't. Megan, I didn't know this. Stonehouse has his cleats and jersey sent to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of the record. That's cool. That's very cool. How about Heidi chiming in? Best thing is Lions D coordinator getting interviews, Aaron Glenn, because Lions defense is so amazing, right? Well, you're right. They weren't very good, but also they don't have any good players. So, actually, I think he's a pretty good D coordinator. And the worst thing is so many quarterbacks missing – hurt quarterbacks missing or limping in the playoff. Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're not going to get Lamar Jackson this week, it appears, sucks.
It does. It does.
Like, I have no interest
I don't
in
think he
game.
Will be a Raven much longer.
May not.
That's my call trap.
It may not. It's been the best and worst things in sports.
Maybe a Tennessee Titan.
You can check it out every Thursday morning at 6:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Jared Stillman. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.